Good afternoon, welcome to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Inika Hamilton, back to open up with you about the latest on the dance scene and the heart of what moves us. Thank you for being here in this dance space. We appreciate you so greatly, folks. Happy Wednesday. We're sending all the love out to you today as we open up the space for today's conversation. And listen, speaking of conversations, I want to take some time this afternoon to congratulate the nominees and recipients of the 44th Annual Dora Maver Moore Awards presented by the Romano D'Andrea Foundation. On June 24th, Turnout Radio had the pleasure of being invited to the ceremony and awards presentation, where we had the opportunity to celebrate outstanding contributions in dance, theater, and opera. And oh, what a celebration it was. Our great thanks to Toronto Alliance for the Performing Arts for the invitation. And we extend our thanks as well to all of the wonderful and inspiring artists. Thank you to all of you. Well, coming up on the show today, our guest has been known to say that beyond service, act, conversation, and ritual, everything happens for a reason. Joining us on the program, multidisciplinary artist Deanna Lopez Soto is in the house and will be opening up about her work, sustainability as an art practice, and much, much more. So stay tuned and stay locked in right here on CIUT 89.5 FM. We're going to take a break and be right back with Deanna Lopez Soto. Welcome back to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Inika Hamilton. My guest today, Deanna Lopez Soto, is an award-winning, multidisciplinary Mexican-Canadian artist, mother, and land caretaker. She has presented and exhibited her work nationally and internationally in France, Panama, Mexico, Costa Rica, the USA, and Canada. Now, she produces and co-produces site-specific performances, vertical dance, art installations, and experimental film. Her interests in sustainable practices inform the direction of her collaborations and offerings. Deanna's love for material, physics, and body-space connections inform her rigging designs and structures, installations, and sculptural sets that come to life through her movement explorations. I am so excited and pleased to welcome her this afternoon to the show. Deanna, welcome to Turnout Radio. So great to see you. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you. This is exciting.
It is. This joy of sitting down and being in conversation together, it never leaves me. So thank you for being here today, Deanna.
Thank you for inviting me.
My pleasure. Well, I mentioned the Dora Maver Moore Awards presented by the Romano Di Andrea Foundation at the top of the show. Congratulations to you and your collaborators for being recognized.
Oh, thank you. Yes, the nominations have been an honor to be valued and to be part of these nominations with so many artists who I admire and who I am so excited to know about. Nomada got 3 nominations, one for a performance by an individual, one as an outstanding production, and also as outstanding sound design and composition, which we actually won. And we are very happy to share this with Edgardo Moreno, who is our composer and musician and plays live during the show and ritual offering. We're very excited. This really means to me that to me, it's an acknowledgement of our work, an acknowledgement of our what we are to bring into the community. And it is an honor, definitely more than anything, an honor to be in that room with so many talented artists. You know, as we prepare ourselves to perhaps, if we win, to say something, I was thinking a lot about how this is a recognition, and it feels that it recognizes the value of both our efforts, our time spent in our work, our processes, and also the opportunity to be in space and share and celebrate together, that beyond the winning or the losing, there is a celebration of our shared accomplishments and as a community as well. So I do feel that is a huge celebration.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And let's talk about that celebration further, shall we? Because I was considering something as I was preparing to meet with you today, considering the importance of community, and also something that you had shared with me prior to the interview, that beyond service and act, conversation and ritual, that everything happens for a reason. And I'd like to move there now, if I may. What did those considerations mean to you?
To me, it is very important to work from the basis of reciprocity and responsibility. I believe that there is a difference when I go into stage and I come from that place of connection, and it's not the idea of expecting, but it's the idea of giving, because I am receiving, and therefore there is somebody else who's also giving and receiving on the other side. The responsibility that the audiences have as well, being present and being open to possibilities, to listening deeper than just being entertained or expecting a service. I believe that does come also from understanding that within our community, we all hold a space and we all have a reason why we come into play. The same as it is in life and coming in a circle around sustainability, I think that as humans, that is one of the most important things to remember, is that there is a job that we are here to do, and it's not to disconnect, it's not to create conservation without human action, is actually to be part of that, is actually to be part of the job of the growing, of the sustainability of what we're being provided, which is a huge gift.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'd like to touch on that, if we can explore that, Deanna, because you had shared with me previously that reciprocity is broken if no responsibility is taken. And so can you explore that? What are your thoughts about the shared responsibilities of artists and audiences?
Yeah, I really believe that it, as you were saying, everything happens for a reason. There is also, there needs to be an awakened consideration of your actions. And the responsibility that we carry every day with every choice that we make ripples through so many generations beyond us. And that is a very important thing to keep in mind and in spirit. And when you are an audience, that doesn't end. You don't just expect somebody to come and make you feel better. You you have a responsibility to also be part of this conversation. And I feel that as well as an artist, we have that responsibility to understand what we are hoping to come to bring into conversation, to open up to connect others into. And I think that that's what I mean. When there is no responsibility, the reciprocity stops flowing, because then there is no give and take. You only either take or you only give. And that is a very important thing to have in mind as an artist as well. In order for us to be sustainable, we need to maintain our strength and our inner force as well. And spirit needs to be fed and knows, it needs to know the boundaries of how much to give and how much we are receiving. Which, you know, I know that is not definitely, I'm not speaking financially per se, but we do need to find a balance also spiritually, where it is that we give without burning ourselves.
I love what you've just shared there. And what comes to mind immediately is, how do we do that? How do we get there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is a, it is an everyday practice of growth. You know, we all keep growing towards that. And if that is our direction, we will have to keep it in a focused place of that is where we're aiming to go. Not to say that we get there even in our lifetime per se. It's at the end of our lifetime when we find that answer. but I do feel that it is on an everyday checking and everyday consideration of the actions. And there is some actions that you might take and feel that maybe there is a bit more selfishness in there than per se in others, but it was the choices you had to make. And sometimes all you have to do is the best that you can. And that's also part of it. You know, sometimes I feel that as artists, we expect so much more from us. And even though we do have the potential to expand, double our size, we're still human and we still can do only the best that we can do at that time with what we carry. Often with when I teach a workshop, that's what I offer to my students. It's to remember who we carry with us and what we're carrying with us, because every day we all carry different things and they might change. And sometimes they're heavier. Those things we carry are heavier and sometimes they're not. They're lighter. But we need to remember that when we come into space, a sacred space of creation, it's honest. We need to be honest with who is coming with us, what energies we're bringing in, because that's how we will create also, or when we will avoid either injury or burnout, because we are aware of where our bodies at, where our minds are, and where is our spirit. We all, in different ways in Canada, we come from so many different places in the world. Our tentacles are connected so far to families and communities that we are extended already. And when we come into a space, we expect 200% of our energy, and we just can't really keep doing that. That's what is burning us. And that's what's also not allowing us to access reciprocity, because we just don't have enough to give anymore. So we need to be more aware of that. I really believe, and I really would love to keep having that conversation with students and artists who have come to my courses and my workshops, to not expect that much more from themselves, more than what there is present, which is also in practice. When I do ritual, it's where I come with and where I am in that space, in my present. And that really is the process that I follow. During ritual with Nomada, it was an everyday practice to be very present where my energy is, where it is in that specific moment, what am I connecting to? And that is the only way that I can actually fulfill that space for that hour of work as a solo performance that holds so much physicality and so much emotion and intensity. It's because it's about the present and about who is there with me.
And you mentioned the checking in. What have you discovered, Deanna, in addition to what you've just shared, about the awareness that can come from that checking in and that space of reflection?
I really think that from that space, there comes a lot more potential. We're opening ourselves to a greater potential beyond body and musculature. We're really connecting deeper to spirit and therefore deeper to that energies that connects our communities together as a human species and as an ecosystem that we're creating every time that we are part of a shared space. You know, it's pretty magical sometimes when you open yourselves to that reciprocity. I often love having conversations with people I don't always know. And I've always come to understand so much more of their culture or their practice. And when I share with them my practice as an artist, and I've always come to this feeling that there is something that we've been, per se, not forgetting, but we have been masking it by pretending again to belong to just one system. That is, per se, maybe the system that is capitalizing on the work that we do. But that is not the system that we only belong to. It is the system that allows us to survive in this space. But it's not all about capitalism. It's about connection and spiritualism. And in many cultures and in many religions, it is understood our place as artists, as mediums, as connectors, as being able to detach ourselves from body and giving ourselves into spirit. It's in a way, not per se sacrificing the way that maybe our Western communities might see sacrifice, but more a sacrifice as a willingness of being able to have the practice and the technique to be able to detach yourself from body and material in order to communicate what you need to say, which is for a greater purpose.
What you're sharing is so powerful. I want to come to something that you said a moment ago about the pretending.
Mm.
Why do you think that is? Why does that pretending happen? What are your thoughts there? Because what comes to mind for me is that the pretending may sometimes come from a place of survival. Instinct. What are your thoughts there?
Definitely. I think it comes from survival. It also comes from fear, because it is scary to find that honesty within yourself. And sometimes that it is scary to let go of everything that perhaps seems as secure. And it is, right? You do also see it as you have to find a balance between what's secure for, especially as parents, as for my family. Am I actually going to be able to get enough contracts this year so that I can buy those winter boots or, you know, those material things that feel survival? But is it survival all the time, or is it also part of our fear that there's nothing else that we can also put our energies to? I also think that energetically, we know that if we trust and that we truly trust and understand where we're going and our direction is clear, that things will start to open up to that direction. And it's in a way how we do it as artists. There's nothing in there in place for us to really sometimes say you go this way and you'll be totally secure. We drop ourselves in that place. For the heart, for the spirit, for the love of it. Sometimes perhaps because that's the only way that you feel so healthy. There is a medicine in here as well. It's medicine for us. Many of us, sometimes you can have conversations where some people will call also creativity addiction because it makes you feel so good. But it is also a way of being, is the way that your spirit is connected. And in that way, if you don't follow it, you could also end up feeling sick. And therefore, it's not functional for our society to have sick people because they're not able to do what they need to do, what they're here to do. But I do find that there is a fear to let go of other things that will feel safe, that will feel secure, in order to do this. You know, when we started doing organic farming about, I'll say 18 years ago, in Oxbridge, which is, there was a lot more conservative farming already happening. It was difficult for people to trust that we will be able to do this, that we will be able to provide as much food as we do. And there was no other way that we wanted to farm, because there's no reason for us to feel that we have to damage our land in order for it to provide food that already provides. She already gives so much. We do not need to damage our land. We do not need to privatize our water. But in order for that fear to give us that access to feel that if we're not afraid of privatization or of we might not be able to grow enough food, we don't give ourselves the opportunity. It might be more work, but I feel like as artists, we're willing to do that work because we do. How many hours as dancers do we spend training our bodies to be able to do one or two things that we're really excited to enter into that space, to be able to be present in the space? We need to be able to break that body. And that is a practice. So I really think it is survival and it is also fear. And sometimes fear can freeze communities and societies and make them do things that they might not do otherwise, if they were to trust a little bit and the possibilities.
Deanna, in the space of introspection and vulnerability that you speak of, what have you learned about yourself?
That's such a good question too, because, you know, when we were sharing about the fear, and I think that not always is geared towards just capitalism, we're also afraid of really seeing ourselves, you know. There's a writing I've been doing, is part of a film exploration that I did, speaking about who really is the alien outside of us, and what we call alien. It was really more inspired to do with those times when you feel really dark and you feel like you've gone into that void. And I really think those are moments where you're burned out, your energy has been taken, you've been using it, you have not been replenishing. And when that happens, though, in those moments of the lowest energy, the darkest moments, is when you find this source, the real source inside of you, that it feels like the reason of everything. And there's an enlightenment that picks you up, because there is no way directionally, when you go so much down, the only way that you can go now is go back up. So it's actually the other way. When I feel really high now in terms of life, in terms of excitement, I catch up myself because I know that there'll be a down. So it's good to find those waves in our lives. We all have them. The cycles of not just womanhood, it's humanity, it's moon, it's life. There's waves. And when we find ourselves vulnerable, and the most vulnerable, there are such precious moments to find lessons of life and lessons of ourselves, that I really encourage that introspective, that curiosity to see, to understand. If you're in that place of darkness or of you feel low, really low, those are very important moments. Those are really big lessons moments, growth, enlightenment. And I really think that's what I would call that vulnerability. It's good to open yourself to being vulnerable especially as an artist that we, or an artist that process, that which the process, in my case, my process is to be very present, which in many cases, it gives me that vulnerability. It puts me in that place. And I would not be able to access vulnerability without strengthening also my spirit and understanding that I am safe within that vulnerability, because again, as I am giving, I'm also receiving, and I can trust that my audience and that my community is also holding me. I have felt that even more so in these last years of my career, that I do need to trust that too. And that if I trust that my ancestors are also there with me, I am not as scared of letting myself go deeper and further, and therefore letting go of body and flesh.
The waves and dark spaces that you mentioned really resonate with me, Deanna. Yeah. I think about the possibilities of deeper connection to self that can come from that, and also the intimacy and the deeper connection to one another that can possibly develop from that as well.
Yes. And in moments of injury for dancers, of course, for us, our bodies, our mediums, our spaces. And many times when I've had my life in my lifetime, I've had many different moments where I've had to stop for pain or for fear of more pain or making things worse. And that's when I have felt that, oh, and it is that fear of, is my body going to be okay? Did I do too much? How do I sustain this life? And it has been great lessons. All of them have been great lessons of, oh, change. You need to change the way that you move. You need to change habits of how you've been approaching your practice. Change perspectives of nutrition. Maybe you need a little bit more iron now. Maybe you need to change how much water you're drinking. It's been so life-changing to see them, not for just as a pain or as a moment that I had to stop, but as a lessons that will continue to help me and have made my practice even better and stronger. And I do feel a lot stronger now, even though I know that there's things that I have to work on daily, that I have to reassure and look at, okay, where is that at today? How is that foot doing today? But that is also feeling as, oh, I'm always present. If I am present in my body, because those injuries call attention, and let's call them lessons, instead of injuries, they are not breakup points. They are moments of paying attention, of perhaps you missed a moment of, what was I carrying in that shoulder that I did not listen to? And now I listen to. It is a practice. I do feel that it's a practice of a constant practice. The same as the reciprocity we talk about, that is part of reciprocity, understanding and listening to your body, your alignment, and where you're at.
Those dimensions of change are interesting to me, because when I look back and I think about my journey, there were some significant changes that happened throughout, and some of those changes brought forth fear. And I recall, as you're sharing, a time when I experienced the significant change due to an injury and had to consider many different things about who I am, where I am, how do I move forward, and what does that mean for me? And so there was some very fearful moments. But what was interesting, Deanna, in that space of change, as I look back, there was an exploration that caused a great sense of awareness. And within that space of awareness, I learned a lot about who Nicole is.
It is. I really resonate with what you said too. It is very important, right? To, beyond artist, it is Nicole, it's Diana, it's this human. And yes, art is part, is our life. And that's how we understand it. And perhaps that's also why I have found it very difficult to only speak from dance, to only speak from film, because in our lives, we have so many different journeys. And there has been times where I would just lean onto writing or lean onto, I feel that the trust in the creativity is more important than in the medium. It's understanding that that creativity will resonate through you. And that came very clear also as we moved to Ontario after university, and we decided to do farming. And I felt so far away from the community of the city and from being close to theaters and rehearsal spaces. And there was a moment of breakage of, as you said, also of understanding who this is in this world, and remembering that I come from land already at home. My parents and my dad was already an avocado farmer, had encouraged me to just move to Mexico, but we moved to Ontario. And understanding that that calls us will continue to call us until we also listen. And I had to really listen and connect back to land, and has been the greatest gift I have understood, because it wasn't about separating myself from land. It was about integrating my work with land. And that's where now my heart is understanding that this passion I have about sustainability and about the work that I do with land is not really separate from the work I do with dance. It needs to integrate in order to become me, and in order to be who I am, they need to speak to each other. And I feel that is those moments of breaking points are moments of growth and integration of those places that maybe we have kept in shadows or separate from an entirety of who we are, just both either for survival, for fear, for not really sure how to integrate it. And those are the moments, opportunities to integrate, to really become integral to everything that you are and you do.
Diana, culture, heritage, and relationship to earth inform your process and artistic practice. So talk to us about how those intersections have informed your journey.
Yes, they've informed my journey throughout. I guess I want to explain that even though I left home very young, I carried home with me. I'm one of those people who have always been very strong Mexican. And it's been lately that I do also want to be grateful about the land that has received me, the land that now I take care of and has taken care of me since I came to Canada. So I am now Canadian as well, and I am very grateful for this opportunity to belong to two cultures, to two communities, and honored to be able to do this. It is a privilege that I carry. It is also a privilege that I carried as a young woman to leave home and be able to look for what I wanted to look for in art and dance. and have the opportunity and the persuasion to, I guess, the strength as well and the courage to leave home alone and be able to do this in another country, because of the knowledge that my parents had been able to provide as a second language in English, as a being able to do dance when I was little. So I am grateful to be part of two cultures, but Mexico is within myself, is inside of me, in my blood, and I carry my culture in me, because I do value my family a lot, and I learned so much from my grandparents as I was growing up with them, from values and understanding culture with my dad as we traveled all around Mexico, because for him, he always mentioned that before leaving Mexico, we had to always learn about our culture and our different values and ecosystems everywhere that we have in Mexico, such a beautiful land. And also as identity, there's been so much that I've come to learn thanks to this project, Nomada. Through the research and creation grants, I was able to travel the rivers that connected the community of my mom in Zitácuaro, as an Otomi community, to my dad's birth land, which is in Ario de Rosales, Michoacán, that many, many years ago was still considered a Purépecha empire, or part of the Purépecha empire. There, this has come to me as an understanding both my identity and that of my children. And for them, it's so clear where they come from and who they are as they travel with me and my mentor at the time and co-creator Alejandro Ronceria with my mom as a guide in the land. So yes, that's to me, relationships is what we carry, as we were talking about being present. And when I understood from the beginning of my practice and process how much I carry in memory from relationships and from relationships to the land that I grew up in and the food I grew up with, it became very clear that culture is a big source of my attention for my practice, because it's through my culture that I understand what it is to have also the need to fight for the rights for our motherland, for not the privatization of water, for our clean and organic food that my grandparents grew up with, because there was no need to spray anything in the land. For that feeling of feeling good in the gut, because everything you eat is good and fresh. So that is where it comes from. It comes from within my blood and my gut and my kid that grew up in that environment, and hoping for that for my children and seven generations to come.
Yes, yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. And as you're speaking about culture and identity, I reflect upon the reciprocity that you mentioned earlier and the intersections of that reciprocity within not only our art spaces, but within our human relationships.
Yeah.
And so when you consider culture and our human health and ecological health, what thoughts do you have about sustainability within your practice and how it's shared?
I do feel that it is very important. Every choices that we make come with that responsibility and resonate to where your direction is. To me, I know that there is materials that I prefer not to access because they're not sustainable. I prefer to think of a slow touring, a slow relationship that grows with presenters so that we can find solutions that perhaps can diminish some of the cost on gas or cost on shipping. A lot of the material I work with, it's because it inspires me and speaks to me. I work with rock, with clay, with metal. It comes from land. They are all our ancestors, solidified in blood and flesh from dinosaurs to our time, and modified through water and heat and And to me, that's so special that I'm bringing ancestors also on stage. And because I carry them in myself and around me, I also feel that that is also the way that I wanna speak about reciprocity. It's also about what I am giving back to those who have plowed the way for me, those who have nurtured me, who have created this opportunity for me to be able to do what I'm doing. We are all in this situation, this privilege of being in this place because of those who have come before us. And I am eternally grateful and honored to be able to do this in this space. So I do feel that sustainability comes in so many different ways, and we can all speak about it and take a step at a time in our productions, in our way of having conversations, in our way of traveling, in our way of communicating with our dancers as choreographers, as I was mentioning, definitely being recognizing their energies and who they come with and how they come that day, and understanding the sacredness of that space that they're holding, as well as in terms of sustainability for the body, creating practices that also hold the body, that give space for rest and for rejuvenation of this of the flesh and the tissues that need space. Not always can we say that our practices in repetition and in per se sometimes in moments of push, that we might put the body in moments that it won't be as sustainable, or that they could create injuries the longer that we do it. But it is about also how we surround our bodies by the food that we eat, the community we share with, the space that we create for the body to heal and the spirit to be able to help us to heal that body. So I do continuously study how can my practice and that of the ones that I come and work with can be more sustainable. How can I help that sustainability in production, in practice, in process, in my way of living? Because my life also reflects through my work, and my work reflects my life. They're all so connected through all of this. So that's how I would say the connection of reciprocity and sustainability continue to speak about the choices that we make and how we decide to do things, how we choose to bring, and even choosing the words. We talked a little bit about that. I have still sometimes called Nomada a show, and I've realized that when we start calling it a show, then we start calling the offering the stuff that gets thrown, and that's not how I see it. So I have to be very aware of how I speak about my work. It's a ritual, it's an offering, and the offering that it's released in the ground is for everybody to experience, and it's a further connection to texture, material, seeds connected to memories and gut feelings. So it is important to remember our words as well, and that will help with the strengthening of the sustainability, because words are important.
Deanna, as we discuss the offerings of your work and the work that you do in collaboration with others, can you share with us what is coming up next with regards to those offerings?
Yes, amazing. Well, in terms of professional development, I will be going to Italy to work with Wanda Moretti, one of the senior vertical dance teachers. We're working on a certification for as a teacher for vertical dance. So when I come back to Toronto, then I'll be teaching some workshops as well. Also in September, me and Victoria Mata are performing our show in Las Hadas, an offering of a inspired by the poem by Octavio Paz, Dos Cuerpos, Two Bodies. And we're performing it both at the Oxbridge Studio Tour on September 14th, 15th, and at Toes for Dance Festival on September 20th and 21st. So please go and catch us up. Come and see our offering. Be part of this interactive installation and performance art piece.
Wonderful. Well, Deanna, what a pleasure, truly, and an honor to share space with you this afternoon. Thank you so much for your considerations, the explorations that you shared with us today. Such a pleasure to have you here on Turnout Radio.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It has been lovely talking with you. I hope we keep connecting more later.
Absolutely. Truly. Absolutely. And where can individuals learn more about the offerings that will be coming to us soon?
Yeah, you can go to my website at www.deannalopez.com. Also, we have an Instagram now, as I have registered a company, Wari Creations, U-A-R-H-I Creations on Instagram, and DLS Danza also on Instagram. So either of those on Instagram, social media, Facebook, and website, as well as Toes for Dance has a website and Oxbridge Studio Tour.
Wonderful. Deanna, thank you again. Such a pleasure to be seated here with you today.
Thank you, Nicole.
Been listening to the sounds of Cannonball Adderley with Autumn Leaves and John Coltrane with Blue Train. To Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. Well, we've come to the close of our show. I want to thank Deanna Lopez Soto for joining me on the broadcast. And folks, if you missed the top of the interview, we're inviting you to visit turnoutradio.com, CIUT.FM, and some of your favorite podcast platforms out there, where this full episode will soon be streaming. And we'd love to engage with you to connect with our production team. Email us at turnoutradio@ciut.fm. We look forward to connecting with you. Thank you for tuning in and sharing time with us this afternoon. Join us again next week for more of Turnout Radio right here on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Inica Hamilton. I hope your week finds you turning out today.
Thank you.